want to welcome my special guest, my big bro, Drew Sopsuzu Nicholas, to the Golden Terminus and Travis Garrison. Hey, bro, I definitely appreciate you joining the show, man. I know you got a busy schedule, but you took time out to join, man. I appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, man, definitely. As soon as I saw, you know, what you were doing, when I saw the little link on Facebook, I said, oh, man, I love what you're doing. And, you know, I appreciate you having me on because I know, you know, there's so many guys that that you could call and reach out to. I'm honored to be a part of it.
Nah, man, I appreciate you, man. It's been cool for me because, you know, yeah, I went to Maryland, but to hear the stories, to talk to guys that came before me, the guys that came after me, to hear the backstories, to hear about things that they got going on now, man. It's been pretty cool, man. I've been enjoying it. And somebody asked me to do it. I was hesitant at first, man, but I'm glad I decided to do this, man.
Yeah, man, it's a great way to stay connected. You know, I think we all can do a little bit of a better job of making sure we all stay connected because, you know, us Maryland Terps, man, we're a family, you know, and
right.
Got to do a better job of just making sure everybody stays connected and we look out for each other.
Absolutely. I know we, you know, we see each other on Facebook and Instagram and stuff like that, but like we never have these type of conversations or we don't have the face-to-face like this, obviously, with everything going on. Everything's Zoom now, man.
Yeah, it's interesting times, man. Interesting times, but you know, we're gonna get through it. But yeah, man, I'm excited.
Absolutely, man. Have you been keeping up with this year's team? And what do you think about it?
Little bit, you know, probably not as much as in previous years. You know, obviously, given with what I do, you know, now being an NBA scout, you know, I'm always ripping and running, watching through a whole bunch of college and NBA games, but you know, I've been keeping up with them. It seems like, you know, hopefully they'll get a chance to get inside the NCAA tournament, and then you know how it is, Trav, like once you get in there, you never know, you know, hopefully
exactly.
You get hot and you can run off a couple of games and all of a sudden make it a really special year.
Right, absolutely, man. I know like last year, man, was crazy because I was watching them and following them a little bit, and to see them get as far as they did, and everybody talking to them, they might have a chance to win it all. And then the pandemic happened, man, and it kind of just shut down everything, you know, when they was hot. Like you said, they had a great opportunity last year for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's – and for us guys, you know, for all college kids, you only get four goes at it. And it goes by like this. You and I both know.
See, right.
You know, one second you're walking on a college campus, moving into your dorm. The next thing you know, man, it's senior night and you're walking out there with your people to center court. You're like, man, where did it all go?
Right.
Man, it's, you know, really unfortunate situation for a lot of people, obviously for the Terps last year, because it did look like they were building towards something special. But, you know, everybody's got to keep pushing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like you said, hopefully they can make that run and get hot because this is the perfect time, you know. Like you said, with college basketball, man, they already won a number of big games against some top teams, man. And if they can get hot, like I said, right now is a great time to do it. Going into tournament time, it'll be special, and hopefully it does happen for them. What do you think about in regards to the state of college basketball now, man? With no fans, man. Just think about back when you were playing at the Cole Fieldhouse. Imagine if there was no fans there, man. Like just. I know it's important to everybody, you know, stay healthy and things like that, man. But just the state of college basketball is just so – it's foreign right now because there's no fans at all.
Yeah, the atmosphere is just different. You know, to be honest, up until you just asking me this question, I don't think I ever thought about, like, what it would be like if when we were in college, if that happened. You know, it was just what we were used to. You know, for my first 3 years playing in front of 15,000 – fans at Cole Fieldhouse, that hot, sweaty gym. There's no AC. And then even when we moved into the Comcast Center, man, we had 18,000 just about every night, you know, ready to go for us. And even on the nights when sometimes when we didn't have it, we always had them behind our back ready to push us to make sure we'd get that win. So for these guys this year, man, crazy and difficult.
Right, absolutely, man. I you know, I was talking to a few people and just, you know, and watching it, your bench has to be into it. They're your biggest fan. So whoever has the loudest bench who's cheering them more and more, they're the home team, whether you're on the road or not. They become the home team, and it's, like, dependent on that. And you see a lot of top teams that used to be top teams, now with no fans, it seems like they even rank no more. You got the Dukes, the Kentuckys, the Memphis. Like, so many of these teams are, they're not doing as good as they once did years prior.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it goes back to your point. Like, think about the atmospheres in some of those arenas. Think about Cameron Indoor. Think about Allen Fieldhouse at Kansas. North Carolina, playing in the Dean Dome. I remember the first time walking in Dean Dome and seeing just that blue just all over. It was crazy. And then, you know, you mix in 20,000, 22,000 fans, and it just becomes a super tough out, no matter who they've got on that other side of the ball. So, yeah, man, it's interesting, man. It's really, really interesting.
Absolutely, man. So what made you choose Maryland, and what other schools would you consider if you didn't go to Maryland? If it wasn't Maryland, where were you going?
Yeah, like, taking it back, man, you know, I wasn't a McDonald's All-American like yourself.
There you go.
I didn't have every school knocking at my door, but you know what it came down to me? My final two choices, you know, I'm from Long Island, New York, and at the time, Jay Wright was at Hofstra, who's obviously now at Villanova, and I grew up with Speedy Claxton. Me and Speedy grew up in the same town, and he was kind of like the guy who I, like, idolized. You know, always looking up, and he was going to be a senior on that Hofstra team, and Jay Wright had been recruiting me ever since I was, like, ninth grade, so it just came down between Maryland and Hofstra for me, and the only reason why I really chose Maryland was just because it was the ACC, you know, having that chance to play in the Cameron Indoors and play against Virginia, Carolina, and all those great schools.
So what was that transition like when you – you know, obviously left high school, but then you get onto campus and now you're a Terp, and then you get that team there, and then you got Coach Williams there. What was that first year experience like for you?
Nah, man, I got to take it back even further than that. I remember after I had committed, me and Steve Blake, we both came on a visit during Midnight Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, walking down and seeing all those fans, and I was like, I don't know what I just got myself into. And on top of that, this is the year when they had Steve Francis, LaRon Prophet, Terrence Morris.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching Steve go crazy at Midnight Madness, taking off from, like, the dotted, you know,
right.
Doing everything. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be coming behind this dude? I'm nervous, Trav. I'm nervous. I'm like, man, I'm ready for this.
Right.
Get myself into. I probably should have stayed at Hofstra, but to answer your question, man, like that first year, you know, you just coming in, eyes wide open, just trying to take in as much information as possible, try to get better every day, you know, and just try to get acclimated as quickly as possible.
Absolutely, man. Because I do remember, you know, coming on campus and seeing you guys doing open gym. This is before I even committed. Just seeing y'all atmosphere and seeing y'all team. So what was that like, man? What was the practices like? What was that intensity like? Because like I said, man, y'all had such a great team with great competitors, man. So what was that atmosphere like? And I'm pretty sure, you know, Coach A had to do a lot of coaching because you guys were so on point and y'all kind of like build on each other. Y'all was a family, you know? So what was that experience like?
You going through it at the time, I remember it just kind of being normal, but now that I'm removed from it and thinking back on the group and thinking about the guys that we had and like what we did, not only on the floor, but also off the floor, it was special, man. And probably I think one of the biggest things in terms of our success was our work ethic. You know, it was normal every night, you know, after practice, I'm talking about 10, 11 o'clock at night for there to be five or six guys in the gym. You know, because everybody had aspirations of playing at the next level. And so Juan would be in there. Lonnie would be in there. And then all of a sudden, it just started trickling down to everybody else because you didn't want to be the one left out. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't want to be the one sitting in the apartment or sitting in the dorm. And you know, the guy who's playing in front of you. You know, I was behind Juan for 3 years. I know Juan's in the gym getting up 300-400 shots. Man, why aren't I in the gym?
Right. So, like,
then everybody would start going. Me and Steve would go together. And then before you know it, it was like six or seven of us, you know, of all the guys that really played and really wanted to take their games to the next level. Everybody was just locked in and committed.
Right. And I used to see that sometimes. I used to come up there and watch you guys play over gym sometimes. I'd be at the math and then I'd shoot down there. And I seen that. I seen guys sometimes, man, when the lights go out, standing there getting shots up. It was a great thing to watch, man. And then to see that transition every year, y'all was getting better and better. So what was that like, man? You seeing, I mean, obviously the experience plays a big part, you know, guys are there a little longer. So what was that experience like when y'all got to the Final Four, and then y'all end up going and then obviously winning it all? What was that each year? What was that in them stages like?
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Cause so my freshman year, you know, we made the tournament, we got knocked out in the second round to a super talented UCLA team. I mean, Earl Watson, Jerron Rush, Dan Gedzurek, Jerome Owiso, Capono. I mean, they were stacked, and they blew us out the frame by like 35 in the second round. And so the next year, you know, coming into our sophomore year, you know, we knew we had all the pieces, and, you know, we were able to make that run to the Final Four. And then kind of going off of that, then we only lost Terrence Morris, right, you know, from that Final Four team. But we had Chris Wilcox.
Right.
And I remember the summer going into that year when we won the national championship, like I never saw somebody take such a leap in their game than Chris did. It was just like all of a sudden overnight he was ready, and we were like, man, this dude ain't gonna be here long. And right. and as good as of a player as T-Rock was, you know, Terrence, all ACC player, we were like, we're gonna be all right. You know, we got right. Chris as well as Taj. And so we knew we had a special chance, and that just kind of made us lock in even more, and building off that experience of getting to the Final Four, kind of knowing what it was like. And then we knew we could do something special.
We'll get back to the show in a minute. But first, let me tell you about our partners over at DraftKings Sportsbook. With March Madness beating down our door, DraftKings is the best way for you to get in on a little action on the game. If you have not downloaded the DraftKings Sportsbook app yet, what are you waiting for? It's the safest, it's the most secure, it's reliable, and allows to safely deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. And this week, they are offering my listeners a pretty sweet deal. If you sign up now with the promo code FIELD68, you can turn $1 into $100. If one of the main event fighters in UFC 159 this weekend lands a single punch, that's it. One punch to turn $1 into $100. And don't worry, if MMA isn't your thing, DraftKings Sportsbook offers odds and promos on basketball, hockey, or whatever your sport you're watching. But since they're basically giving away $100, you might as well sign up now. Watch a little UFC, and remember to use the promo code FIELD68. That's FIELD, F-I-E-L-D, 68. Must be 21 years or older. Offer available for a limited time only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Yeah, and I saw that, man. Like I said, I was at those games. I was, you know, in the Colford house when y'all was making those, when y'all get a plate against Duke, and then seeing y'all go from the Final Four, then that year when y'all won the championship, how crazy that was. Y'all last game in Colfield house, how crazy that was. Yeah. What was that like, bro? Like I said, every time I went to y'all games at Colfield house, it was crazy. Like you said, super hot. I'm in there with sweat clothes on, but I had to take it off because it's so hot in there. But just the atmosphere was crazy, man. And so what was playing at Colfield house like for you? And what was the last game at Colfield house like for you? What was that experience like for you?
I mean, playing in cold and getting a chance to run out of that tunnel, it probably still gives me chills to this day, man, just because, like, there was nothing like it. You knew, like, we had 15,000, and they were going to be loud, they were going to be rowdy, and it was our environment. And, you know, the year that we won the championship, we went undefeated. Like, nobody came in our house and beat us. And, like, we just knew that every time we stepped on that floor, like, wasn't nobody going to touch us.
Right.
So, you know, it was great, man. Just really, really special. And then the final game, actually, you know, I think it was personally my best game of that year. You know, I came off the bench, and I was kind of like the first guard off the bench. And I remember I had a double-double. I had 16 and 10. Mm-hmm. And we blew out Virginia, who then was, you know, one of our rivals. I think we beat them by a cool 30 or 40 piece.
Yeah, yeah. Now that game, I was at that game. That game was crazy. It was crazy, man. Even after the game was over, bro, like everybody just kind of stayed there just to take in then obviously what COVID, the history of COVID House, and then knowing that was the last game and that whole experience, man, everybody kind of didn't want it to see it in, but it was what it was, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So then we go from there, y'all win the national championship. Now you're going to Cold Field House. What was that like? So you've seen the era of Cold Field and now in Comcast.
Yeah.
So that transition. So you history, man. You was the last player, one of the last players to play at Cold Field House and one of the first to play, one of the first to play at Comcast, opening up that arena. I remember the first game that we played there. What was that? That was crazy. So yeah. What was that like? What was that experience like?
Man, it was great, man, just because obviously the fan base was there. You know, we're coming off of a Final Four and a national championship. So, you know, around D.C., we were the hot ticket. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't the Baltimore Ravens. It wasn't the Washington Redskins or the Wizards. Right. It was us. Right. Like, we had those guys coming to watch us play. And for me personally, man, it was a great transition because, you know, like I stated before, you know, I played behind Juan for 3 years, and all three of those years were in Cold Field House. And now all of a sudden, my senior year, it's like, all right, I get my opportunity to really shine. And plus, we're going into this new building. So it was great, man. And I actually loved Comcast just because, one, you know, as great as Cole was, the floors were a little hard. And the rims weren't as soft. I got it. For whatever reason, man, them rims in Comcast, they just seemed as big as an ocean, man, and they were so right. So as a right. shooter, man, I was like, yeah, I could definitely do my thing in here.
Right. So now, because I was part of this, so you go, like I said, you go from winning the national championship, you got experienced players, now it's your senior year, now you have us coming in, the freshmen.
Yep.
It's different now. Now it's not, y'all don't have that experience no more. Y'all kind of got to be the teachers, whereas y'all all was kind of on the same level. You guys are all experienced. Now y'all just coming up national championship. Now you got the young guys coming in. Now you got to teach them, and now you got to try to teach them fast because it's our senior year, and y'all trying to make another run at it. So what was that process like for you and trying to get things going, especially your last year?
It was – honestly, it was a little bit tough because on the one hand, you know, I was looking at it, you know, hey, man, it's my senior year. You know, we got to go out. We got to do everything we can possible. But then at the same time, you know, I could relate. I could relate to being a freshman and not necessarily maybe not fully understanding exactly, like, what everything that entails to be, like, for us to play at the level in which we needed to be. And, you know, I definitely tried my best in terms of, you know, getting all you guys up to speed and trying to get you guys to understand, hey, man, like, I know, you know, you guys got a chance to see all of our success and everything, and everybody loves us now, but, like, there's a lot of hard work and there's a lot of unseen stuff that you got to be able to do and you got to be able to sacrifice in order to be at this point. And, you know, and so for you guys, I know it was tough, man, because it was kind of like everything was kind of like given to you almost in a sense, in which, like, you know, you didn't have to build it all up and kind of understand what it was. But it was great, man, you know, just trying to be somewhat of a big brother as well as, you know, making sure I go out there and handle my business and make sure we try to get as many wins as possible.
Absolutely, man. I know for me personally, I know what you guys try to do for me, and, you know, especially like Taj, because he was my position. So the stuff that, you know, we used to get into it in practice and stuff, and stuff like that. And you guys teaching us a lot of times it was the stubbornness going in and thinking we know everything and that experience. And I was just telling G-Dub, I was talking to him and I was just, you know, apologizing, like, man, you know, I wish I would have listened more and took your advice. And, you know, but I thought I knew it all. I thought I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have fun. But like you said, man, y'all built that up to a certain point. So y'all was expecting us to come along and basically to get it. And so that was definitely, it was a great experience playing with you guys because, like you said, coming off the success you guys had and seeing you guys, that experience that you guys had. So I know I learned a lot. You know, I probably didn't utilize it as much as I should have during that time, but I've seen the way y'all went into things and the mindset you guys had. And, but yeah, man, so now I definitely appreciate it. So we go into the tournament, our first game, bro. We're in the tournament. We're in the tournament, our first game. And it's a tight one. It's a tight one. Like I said, I just won the national championship the year before, so everybody was expecting you guys to go another run. And we down to the wire to a point we might be getting knocked out the first game, bro, of the tournament. You get the ball in your hands. I just seen it not too long ago too, bro. You get the ball in your hands. So I know what your mindset is. You're trying to get it in before we can get this game. What was that experience? What was that like? And then when you made it, what was that feeling like? Knowing it was your senior year, knowing what you just did for us to move on.
Yeah, man. Again, I got to take you back just a little bit. Like even before, you know, after the kid made the two free throws, I think I remember we called the timeout. And I remember I had a moment in the huddle. I was like, man, this is my senior year. Like, we're not about to go out like this. Like, not just coming off of a national championship and all the success that we had and me trying to, you know, being one of the leaders of the team. Like, no, it's not going to go like this. So I remember walking out of the huddle and me and Taj are kind of walking together. And I tell Taj, because originally the play was for Steve. Steve was supposed to get the ball. If you go back and watch the play, like, there's a little screen set and Steve's supposed to get it, but they kind of deny him. Well, and I told Taj, I said, man, if Steve doesn't get it, I'm coming back for it. He said, all right, I got you.
All right.
Sure enough, play comes out. Steve gets denied. I get it. And then, like you said, man, everything just kind of goes black. I know I had a little less than 5 seconds. I got to get it up as fast as I can, and I got to try to get a shot off.
Right.
You know, and I had never shot a shot like that before, you know, running one leg, you know, fading away to the baseline. But, man, like when that thing went in, whew, I just wanted to get out of there. And that's why you see me take off to the tunnel. Because the rest wasn't.
Hey, we all did. We all took over there. I remember Coach telling us back, come back, come back. So I thought they was gonna call that back, but you know, when we ended up getting that W, man, which was a huge, because we ended up playing Xavier the next game, and then we played Michigan State and lost to them in the Sweet 16. So now you're done at Maryland. Yeah. You're going on, getting ready for the draft and that pro experience. What was that experience like, and what was that transition like, knowing the career that you had at Maryland, and now you're moving on to the next phase?
You know, I mean, I was, as far as what my career was like in Maryland, I was satisfied. I knew that, you know, Final Four, national championship, and then, you know, playing like I did my senior year, I felt like, you know, hey, with one full year of me starting, like, I did almost everything that I thought that I could do. And then I knew kind of my chances of making the league were on the slim side, just because I was an undersized shooting guard. But, you know, I knew that, you know, I looked at it as a business. I said, man, like, all right, well, I'm about to be a professional now. So, and I know I've got X amount of years that I can play this game. So I'm going to try to make as much money as I can, you know, wherever that takes me. So I always knew that potentially going overseas was an option.
What was your, cause I remember that. I remember this. I mean, I seen your story. I seen that process in regards to your first year and how it was stepping stone. You know, I mean, it was something that I know I looked at coming out, you know, and coming out of Maryland, seeing the progress that you made and then where you ended up at.
Right.
So what was that overseas experience like? And because you played on pretty much, man, you played on a lot of top teams, bro. You won a lot of championships. So what was that like, man, for people that may not know?
Man, I mean, I can tell you just kind of, you know, from my first, second, third year, like there was always this chip on my shoulder because, you know, like even going back to high school, I wasn't the most highly touted recruited kid. Even in college, you know, people didn't think that I was good enough to play at Maryland. And now all of a sudden, you know, I'm playing at the pro level and, you know, obviously the NBA told me I wasn't good enough to play in the NBA. So I always had a really, really big chip on my shoulder to try to keep proving people wrong. And so, you know, my first 3 years, man, I killed it. You know, I don't know if there's anybody else that's done it, but, you know, I went from leading the second division in Italy in scoring to leading the first division in Italy in scoring, and then getting my chance my first year at the EuroLeague level, I led the EuroLeague in scoring. So, I mean, every year I was on a mission, and I just wanted to prove to people that, you know, I could play.
Right. Like I said, man, I know I followed it because I think when I came out, I know you were still playing because I know you did Italy.
Yep.
You did Israel, right? You did Israel.
Oh, I played 3 years in Italy, and then I went to Turkey for two. I played at FS Pilsen for two, and then Then I went to Greece and played at Panathinaikos for three, you know, which was around, you know, pretty much the pinnacle.
And you was around, you won championships every year when you was at Panathinaikos, right?
Yeah, so I won my third year in Italy when I was in the first division, we won the Italian League Championship. Then when I was in Turkey, we won a cup. And then every year in Greece, we won all 3 years the Greek Championship, and we won two Euro Leagues and one or two cups. I think one cup, I think.
Right. Was Jesse Cavendish on your team during that time?
Yeah. Sarunas was he was on my team the first 2 years. Definitely the first year. It might have been two, I think. But yeah, man, and he's like a legend overseas. Now he's the coach of Barcelona and he's killing it as a coach. But I mean, as far as a playing career over there, I mean, he's as big as it gets. I remember my first year in Greece. No, it was my second year. So this is how I know we played 2 years. I remember we had a little break because we didn't make the EuroLeague Final Four. And so we had a couple of days off and I decided to go over to Israel with him. And he had played in Israel before with Maccabi Tel Aviv. And he won two straight EuroLeague titles with Maccabi. And Travis, when I tell you, like, as soon as we stepped off the airplane, there was paparazzi waiting for us. Like, he's that kind of guy. And everywhere where we went for those 48, 72 hours, we'd be sitting down at lunch and we'd look over our shoulder. There'd be people, like, snapping pictures and trying to figure out, like, is Saris coming back to Maccabi?
Right.
Crazy.
And that's crazy because I know you played at Maryland, but he didn't play a lot at Maryland, correct? He didn't play a lot at Maryland. And that's how I heard the story. Like, he was at Maryland, he didn't really play a lot, but he went overseas and just.
Yeah. It was a lot like the situation like myself. Like, I think he only started his senior year. And he had like a pretty good year his senior year. And then once he went overseas, his game just took off.
Yeah, because I remember we played it. I didn't play that game, but we played against Panathinaikos, and he was there. And I was trying to chop it up with him, like, yo, I went to Maryland too, woo-woo. But, I definitely, like I said, man, cautionary stories when you hear about guys, especially from here, where they played at Maryland to go overseas and have great careers like you did. So what was your favorite country or experience overseas? I know, obviously, winning championships, but what was that? Because you played in some crazy environments, bro, so.
I mean, my best 3 years definitely was at Panathinaikos when I was in Greece, just because we were winning and I loved the country, you know, warm weather, the sun was always out. So it was, you know, it was a nice lifestyle. I mean, but in terms of crazy stories, man, oh goodness, I got so many of them. All right, here, I'll give you one. So, and Greece was wild, man. I mean, like, there were some gyms where, like, you'd be playing in small packed arenas with maybe like 1,000, 1,500. And I remember there was this one gym where, like, the fans were kind of on top of you. Mm-hmm. And fans in Greece are disrespectful, man. Like, you could be taking the ball out of bounds on the side and they'll be trying to spit on you. Like, spit on you.
That's
and
crazy.
You know, like, back home in the States, man, God forbid if somebody ever tried to spit on you, like,
right.
Up the stands, but
right.
You had to think twice because there was. There was 1,000 of them.
right. Right.
No, but again, going back to the crazy story, man. So I remember we played our rival, Olympiakos, in the final.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the fans are so crazy over there that anytime when Panathinaikos and Olympiakos played, no fans from Olympiakos could come to Panathinaikos gym and vice versa. Because I guess a couple of years prior at a volleyball game or something, somebody had actually died. Like, that's how serious they take it. Like, they're to the death, essentially, like, in terms of fans. And so we're getting ready to come out game four. We're up 2-1. It's a best of five series. And as soon as we come out onto the court, I mean, the fans, they just start throwing stuff at us. And I'm not talking about, like, little pieces of paper. I'm talking about stuff that, like, if it hits you, like, you may have to go to the hospital. So we had to go back into the locker room, wait like an hour, come back out. They evacuated probably like 30% of their hooligans. We start playing. Then it gets to like almost towards the end of the game. There's a minute left. We're up 7. They like, man, forget this. They start throwing again. Throwing. I mean, like, literally, it's tense. Like, man, like, we don't know if we're going to be able to get out of here.
That's crazy.
Go back in the locker room. Now it's the game was like a 9 o'clock start. and it's like 12:30 at night, and we're just trying to finish up this game, and we never even got to finish it. The Greek Federation just called it off and gave us the championship. So that's probably one of the craziest stories for me over there, man. It was nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Like, I know when I was over there, man, it was the same thing. Like you said, but it was, I think something happened and no fans were allowed at the game because James was playing with Panathinaikos when he was over there. And no fans were allowed in the game because, like you said, how crazy they can get. Y'all can't even finish games at times.
Yeah.
So what you got going on now? What are you doing now? I know you said you're scouting. So what's that been like? Is this your first year doing it or?
No, so this is my fifth year. You know, 3 years, I was a scout with the Timberwolves, and then for the past two, last year and this year, I'm a scout with the Philadelphia 76ers. So, you know, man, it's been great, man. Just being able to stay around the game and go to all these arenas, obviously, until, you know, COVID shut everything down. Being able to go to college NBA games and seeing so many guys that you played against or, you know, coaches, et cetera, just kind of the basketball family. It's been awesome, man.
Man, that's definitely great to hear, man. Like I said, man, I definitely appreciate you joining the show, man. Thank you for your time, bro. Man, I appreciate you for everything that you did for me, man, at Maryland, and, you know, the great career you had overseas, man, and especially what you're doing now, and your beautiful family, man. I know you loving that, bro.
Yeah, man. It's been good, man. All I can say is that, you know, the game has blessed me, you know, in a lot of different ways. And, you know, just trying to continue to give back and teach guys as, you know, as they come up and ask me questions, and just as much knowledge as I have, try to pass it forward.
I definitely appreciate you, bro. Real talk, man. It was great talking to you, bro. I know a lot of fans are going to love to hear these stories, man. But definitely good luck to you, man, and the rest of your career, bro. Stay healthy, man. Keep working, bro. And like I said, I appreciate you joining and go to the Trans Terrace and good to see you together.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate it, man. You got a good thing going, man. Keep it going.
Thanks a lot, bro. I appreciate you, bro.